A shocking story in Cleveland, Ohio. Three men arrested after a raid on a home and the rescue of three women apparently held prisoner for nearly a decade. The revelations began with a frantic call to 911.
Leave a 911.
Hello, please. Help me. I'm Amanda Berry.
You need police, fire, ambulance.
I need police.
Okay, and what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now.
Can you imagine getting that call if you were a 911 operator? I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now. That was the voice of Amanda Berry, who went missing at age 16, who apparently escaped from custody, called in the authorities. Also rescued were Gina DeJesus, Michelle Knight, and a six-year-old girl. The case has produced alarm and celebration in the city of Cleveland. Joining us now is ML Schulze, digital editor for public radio station WKSU, Kent State University. ML, welcome.
Good morning.
Give us a sense of the feeling in Cleveland, the sense of how this case lingered on the minds of certain individuals, even outside the family, who never gave up believing that these girls were alive.
Well, these girls all disappeared from a West Side neighborhood of Cleveland, one dominated by frame homes. If you want to get a visual image of it, think of the movie Christmas Story. That was shot in that area about a mile away from where this all occurred. It was the kind of neighborhood where people back then took very seriously what happened. They posted flyers all over the place. They had regular commemorations. And police did not leave this case go. They revisited it regularly. The Fugitive Crimes Task Force got involved. The FBI got involved. There was continual hope that something was going to happen. Honestly, there was also continuing fear that something bad was going to be the result. And I think that is why there was cheering. Even during the press conference last night, there was cheering in the neighborhood.
And these three young women who were teenagers when they disappeared, what's their state right now? They were briefly in medical custody for a while.
They were. That appears to have been mostly a precaution overnight rather than them being in bad physical health. Certainly, you've got to wonder after 10 years and more what kind of mental health, the mental state they're in. But they were released this morning from the hospital. There's the police department, the mayor are holding a press conference actually right now in which they're expressing great joy and yet also saying we have some very serious questions to follow up on.
And what is the situation with the three men who were arrested, apparently all in their 50s?
All brothers, Ariel, 52, Pedro, 54, and O'Neill, 50, the Castro brothers. No history of problems. There was a point at which one of them, Ariel, who was a school bus driver until last November, had been investigated by Child and Protective Services, but nothing had come of it. No calls to the house, except Ariel Castro at one point apparently made a call to the neighborhood to complain about a fight going on out in the street.
Now, ML, you've had a long and distinguished career. I mean, this one has got to be for the books. I mean, there's just no way to imagine how this happens even in the midst of this picturesque neighborhood.
What really gets to you is when you step back and look at a map and you realize that for more than a decade, these girls, now women, were kept so close to their homes. And I think the families, you're going to talk to some of them, but the family members are saying, we had a feeling. We knew something was nearby. Neighbors, you know, oftentimes what happens with these kind of stories is you look back and in hindsight, you say, we should have seen. We should have seen the drawn shades all the time. We should have seen that these guys didn't interact with the neighborhood. They're starting to piece things together now. But from the surface, there wasn't anything to say, be afraid.
Unbelievable. Joining us now, ML Schulze. Thanks so much. Digital editor for Public Radio, WKSU, Kent State University. Thanks, ML.
Surely. Take care.
Earlier, we reached out to rescued girl Gina DeJesus' cousin, Sylvia Colon, who learned the shocking news about her lost relative and is dealing with her own emotions of excitement and worry.
Numbness, disbelief. I mean, we always held out hope. We always believed, most certainly, that Gina would come home. And that thought process has always been led by Gina's mom, Nancy, who never for one day believed that Gina was dead. She always believed that Gina was alive and that Gina would return home. And sure enough, mom knew.
You know, I could certainly understand the keeping faith. She's still alive out there. She's lost. She'll make it home, or maybe she doesn't want to come home, something like that. But the scenario where she's held prisoner, apparently, in a house in the same town where you live, who could believe something like that?
It is certainly surreal, to say the least. It's dumbfounding to me, considering when Gina first had gone missing, we looked in that neighborhood. I remember it as if it was yesterday. We looked and we looked and we looked.
It really brings a chill up your spine about your own neighborhood, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are really good people that live there. And I think, unfortunately, you know, when there's good, there's also bad. And unfortunately, amongst all the good people, there was some bad people that lived there as well.
Well, Sylvia, thanks so much. Anything you plan to do over the next couple of days? Any idea when you'll get to see Gina and Amanda?
We don't know. We're certainly taking the lead from, obviously, Gina and how much she'll be able to handle initially with family, because we have a very large family. And then I think it will also be up to her parents and her brother and sister. I think right now that is our priority as a family, to make sure that they're together and they're spending time together and that Gina's getting any and all help that she might need. So we'll take their lead. We're all very, very anxious and over the moon excited about seeing her, but we also need to be patient and wait, and they'll let us know when it's time. But boy, when we do, it is certainly going to be a celebration.
Sylvia Colon, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sylvia Colon, cousin of Gina DeJesus, one of three women who went missing 10 years ago in Cleveland, discovered yesterday. Coming up, we'll continue our week-long series on powerful women who've broken into male-dominated careers.
To be 24/7 at work at the same time you're 24/7 available to your children. The fact is, it's not possible. It's not possible.
Journalist Judy Woodruff joins us later this hour.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.